Accession number 11462, Real 2.
This is Florence Parsons, Reel 2. We're talking about when you were part-time in the evenings on the stage at the various things. What was the life like in the theatre? I mean, how did you all get on together behind stage, the various actors and singers and...
Well, the chorus girls had to be at the top dressing room. the more important ones were down more. And then... there'd be a call boy, and when it's time for you to go on the stage, you should call out, "Dancers down, please," and we all come running down. And happy times they were on the stage, because he wouldn't let me tour.
Did you used to get pestered by soldiers on leave and things at the stage doors, or were you protected from all that?
I didn't see many at the stage door, and they came out. No, not then. I don't suppose there was many on leave to you from France. No.
What was it you liked so much about the theatre? Because you always,
I think I was born with it, because I'll tell you something now. I don't know if you ever heard of that great actress, Ellen Terry. Well, my mother's mother was cousins of Ellen Terry, so they had same grandparents, and then my grandfather married Ellen Terry's cousin, and he was an old actor, and he used to go about, and his wife was a good singer, and so he used, there would be no cars those days, and he used to do that, and he used to take all the scenery on the Orson cart going along different theatres. He used to play Hamlet, Maria Martin, The Red Barn, and The Bells he was good at, they say, an actor. And then I heard that my mother was born in the dressing room, and put in one of those little straw hampers I used to have the clothes in. So, but Mum's mother died when Mum was 13. So then he married again. So that's the end of Ellen Terry. So I know that it come from my grandfather. And my sister was a lovely singer. So, but I was more for acting and dancing.
Did you get a chance to act at all, or were you just a
dancer? No, see, all that wartime stopped everything then. That's about it.
Why was your father so against it? Was he worried about your moral welfare, so?
That's right, yes. So he was very lovable to all his children. It wouldn't have any harm to have come to him.
Did you resent it at the time? I mean, were you upset when he wouldn't let you go on
tour? Oh, yes. I wanted to be a dancer.
Wasn't it hard work doing this part-time dancing and working in the milliners? Was that?
Well, I've never had it done a week here and there, that's all. You know, different...
So you wouldn't have a long stint?
Oh, no. It'd only be a week now and again when they wanted any... what they call them... extras, isn't it? More what it was. You talk dancing and all that, splits and all that sort of thing. But now you have to go through the right hard work now, don't they? Well, then, just before 18, I was up in the city, and it was a Saturday morning, and I went to the street door, and a lot of them did, and all of a sudden I said, "Oh, look at all that lot coming over, like a lot of birds." And it was the new thing they'd got out, aeroplanes, they called the Gothers in those days. all coming along. Oh, and everybody panicked, seeing the terrace houses all the way along. We see them coming over, so we run across that way and see them going over. They'd already dropped the bombs in the city, so I wasn't up there that Saturday, in the Saturday morning. Already dropped the bombs up in the city, the Gothards. Then they came at night, almost the city, as you know, was all bombed. And I didn't go to work anymore up there, not then. So it came to it every night. So it frightens you, because not one comes over, but a great flock of Gothards come over. So there was rather a tunnel. So everybody got on the trams of early evening and go down the tunnel. So my dad was terrified. He got us all get on the tram, and we were all waiting outside the Rotherhithe tunnel. They wouldn't let you go in until they got the sirens, what the sirens they said then. And then we all went in there, and all night stayed, laid on the pathways and that. All of a sudden there was a terrible bang. Of course everybody got up to run under the tunnel we were, and said that it was these hooligans had got bottles of water and dropped them, and it sounded as if a bomb had dropped. No more would go in there. So then there was some Gothas come over again at night, and guns are going, and my dad still got frightened. So next door people had moved to New Malden. Now I used to stay there at times when I was 14, and weekends and that. So my dad was so frightened of all these, and my sister used to go mad, was younger than me. So he said, come on, he said, we'll all go further away. And they seemed to only want London. So we got on a tram at Campbellwell. We got a tram from New Cross to Campbell, and Campbellwell was going to Hampton Court. He said, we'll all go to Hampton Court and sit out the night. And Hampton Court, well, you know, the grounds, they don't touch, go that way. They're all coming to London. So we got there. So I said, well, I'll go and drop off at New Malden and go and see these people that live next door to us. So I said to her, all the mum and dad's gone, and the other two girls have gone to Hampton Court. Said, what for? I said, we can't stand it anymore in London. So she said, will you go and find them and fetch them back here? So of course I went to Hampton Court, and the Bushy Park was opposite. Then all the people there had gone from, and it's laying out in the on the seats of Hampton Court and Bushy Park, away from London, we thought, because it got so bad. And then I brought them all back. So we sat up in our bedroom window, and you could see right over London, and there was all the flames going up in the city of London.
And that's the First World War, not the Second World War.
The First World War.
How did it compare, do you think, I mean, to the Second World War?
Well, the
I mean, the bombing from the Gothas.
Yeah, well, that was bad, that bit. But then we mastered them. But in the Second World War, after they mastered we had the doodlebugs, didn't we? Because I'd evacuated with my little boy.
So in the First World War, it was just for a short period it was bad for,
yes,
with these ghosts. Was there a lot of panic, do you think, in the First World War, with the Zeppelins and then with the Gothas?
Yes. Yes, because they never heard of anything like that, did they?
So it was the newness of it?
Yes.
That people just didn't know what to expect?
I didn't. The Rotherhithe Tunnel, when I remember laying down on the paths, the Rotherhithe Tunnel. And then he was so scared, my father. And we went right to get on the tram to Hampton Court, and the grounds was all open, and that Bushy Park was all open. But then we saw it. He said, no, we're out of it. We saw it from our bedroom window.
He
said, thank goodness we're out of London, seeing it, all the flames going up, and it was the city again, all those big and that big where I worked in the city.
At the milliners.
Because it's a big buildings they were, and we had one floor, and we were at the top floor. That was gone.
Oh, it was blown up where you worked?
Oh, no. No, that was gone in the 1940 war.
But not
no, that was still there.
Were you still working as a milliner all through the First World War, or did you stop halfway through?
No, I was a milliner
all
the time.
All the way through, yes.
Yes, up till I got married.
Did you meet any famous people coming in for hats during the war?
No, because it was not a shop.
It was workrooms?
Yes, a shop, and they were all sent out. The
Did you ever make special hats for people that you'd know who you were making them for?
No, we didn't know. It's just the shops that come and bought them.
Did you get any fancy hats for yourself? I mean, would you get a nice hat?
Oh, I used to make myself some smashing hats. Myself.
Was that at home or at work?
At home. Yes, you'd be down in the East End, you'd be shops. You can go and buy backroom shapes and all the material. You know, say I only want, say, a quarter of a yard of so and so. They cut it to what you wanted it. And that was the East End, nearly all Jewish people.
So you'd make your own hats?
Oh, yes, and for other people too. Get paid for jobs to make a hat for them.
That was private, yes. Wasn't it? What about, did the war affect you in any other ways? Did any of your relatives or friends have to go off to war?
Yes, a boyfriend I had went at 18. He was one of the musketeer. He was my partner. And he went over to France and taken prisoner.
Did you write to him?
Yes.
Before he was prisoner and after. Did you know where he'd gone when he was prisoner? I mean, were you able to carry on writing to him?
I carried on writing to him. My letters came back and said he was presumed dead.
How did that... What did you feel... Did you worry about him a lot before that?
Yeah, well, I was 18... Not 18. He went at 18. Well, I was 18, the same age. And it just said... Well, we used to go out together, and the war was on. And that then when he went, he was upset because he heard London had been bombed. He was out in France. No, Wiltshire he was then. He heard, you know, that London was bombed. And then I heard after he was out in France, then my letters came back. Presumed dead. Missing, presumed dead.
And how did you feel about that?
Felt terrible, really. Well, the girls at my age then. So, and then I found his where he lived, and I went to his mother, and she said, "Oh, I'm glad I've seen you. I've had a letter to say he's a prisoner of war in Germany, and if you ever see my girl, tell her that I'm alive." And that's how it was. And she said, "Well, when the war's over," it was nearly over then, "if he comes home, you'll see 'Welcome Home' on the door." And because it was in the main road he lived, from Jamaica Road, there the Tower Bridge and along. And then one day I saw it there. So, I went to the Rotherhithe Hippodrome. My sister was a programme girl there. And she always used to get me a seat. And I sat in the balcony. So she came up to me. She said, "You don't know who's downstairs in that, in the stalls?" She says, "Len Knight. She's home." So, of course,
that's your boyfriend,
wasn't Yes, she goes and tells him, and he comes up, and he's all in blue, a wounded soldier. So, and then, he wasn't at home, he was in a hospital near there, and they brought him out to go to the theatre. So then she had a reunion, and I went there, and then we went out together after that for so long, till I was 21, and he brought me a nice gold bracelet. The trouble was, I taught him to dance, and then unbeknown to me, you should go dancing somewhere else, and you got another girl after all that. Nearly killed me, that did. So I'd never have another boy.
But you did, because you've got your husband, yes, who died 2 years
ago. And I was so upset and that, so I never troubled about it. I used to go dancing, and I finished, he married this other girl. But after all that time, so...
What had you written to him when he was away? You know, before, when you were getting letters, what would you write about to him when he was away from home on the Western Front?
When he was out there, I used to say, you know, that I hope he'd come through all right, you know, love letters and all that, but they were all returned to me, so he never got them. I wished he had done.
Oh, he never got any of them?
He only got one, and he sent me one.
What did he write about?
It had on it... on the train going so slow, he said, I've got out and picked these flowers. They were little white flowers. They were so slow, and I kept that letter and the little white flowers for a long time. So I mean, things changed, didn't it, afterwards? It was all right.
What were the dance halls like during the war? Can you sort of, because they've gone now, they don't exist, do they? Mm. Can you describe what they were like?
Oh, they were packed out.
What sort of buildings were they like? I mean, did they have a... What did they look like, if you see what I mean?
Well, lovely dance halls they were. And then there used to be... Streatham used to be the Locarno. That was a lovely dance hall.
They'd have a big dance floor, would they?
Oh, yes.
And what would be... would they have a bar, an alcohol bar, or would they be dry?
There'd be a bar there.
Would that be at one end?
One end, yes. But never see any drunks or anything like that.
Did you drink?
No, I didn't like drink. Now, I'll tell you now that I went on, didn't trouble about any boyfriends, seriously. I'd have partners and dance all, but never. My sister used to get the boys, but I wasn't into it after that one. I was so heartbroken about that one. So, as years went on, the girl I used to go dancing with, so she said, I go now and again weekends to my aunt, she said, up in East Finchley, the pub called the Windsor Castle, you know that, don't you? So she said, you come up with me one weekend, she said, and see if you like it. She said, I only go for a change to help my old aunt up there, Mrs. Windsor it was. Although it was Windsor Castle, so her name was Mrs. Windsor. So I went up there. So she said, how do you like to be a barmaid? I'm left-handed. I said, oh, no. She said, well, you and, what her name was now, the girl, have a go. And it's me. So a pint, somebody wanted a pint. She said, I'll do the pint like that. So she said, how would you like to be a barmaid? I said, oh, I wouldn't mind. So she said, would you come here? And I thought, oh, it would be a change, but none of us would left home at
You're
all, or anything of that.
About what year is this, do you think?
1934, I should think.
So you'd been still stayed at home all that time?
Yes, went out.
And what happened then? Carry on.
So I came. And I liked it, and that because they found out my name, so they all called me Flo. Pint, please, and there's me going like this at the pint. So a lot of chaps wanted to take me out, and I don't know, wouldn't go. So I didn't like any of them, each Finchley chaps. So one came in and sat in the corner. So they said, "Oh, he's just lost his wife." I don't know if you ever remember, in Church Lane there were some cottages opposite the Alexandra, all little cottages. So he lived in one of them with his little girl and his wife. Well, she died sudden caught the flu, and she died. And Then he used to, I didn't know that, and he used to come and sit in there in the corner and play dominoes with his brother-in-law. So they used to say to me, "What sort of chap do you like then?" I said, "Oh, a he-man." So I said, I said, "One like him over there." So I also said to him, so then he came over and he wanted a pint. He didn't drink much beforehand. So I thought, well, I'm giving him a horrible great heavy glasses. His pints, and so I used to give him half a pint. "Why don't you give me a pint?" I said, "No, they're too hefty, big things." So then he asked me, as time went on, you know, I still kept there. And then I used to go home Sunday afternoon, come back at 8, don't get busy till 8 o'clock. So then he said, "When's your day off?" I said, "Wednesday." So anyhow, the one Sunday he said to me, "Instead of you going home, would you like to come out?" So I did. Alexandra Palace. He was living up there then with the relations. So I went to Alexandra Palace, and then it went on and on. He used to come down to me and meet me Wednesdays. No, I used to come back early Wednesdays, and he used to take me to the pictures. Gaumont, wasn't it then? So that's how we carried on. And she got to know it, Mrs. Windsor, because her daughter's husband died, and she wanted my husband, well, wasn't the husband then, for him to marry her. She'd got a little girl, the same age as this little girl, and she used to write to him and say it would be company for Olive, and she'd like, and we'd be all right together. So she gave me the sack. We knew why, see. And soon she got the sack, she wrote to him again. But it didn't come off. So that's how it was. So went on 2 years, and we got married, come to East Finchley. You know where the supermarket is now? There was a big house there. It's got, they pulled that house down, and there's a ball holding there now, isn't there? That holding. Well, O'Farrell or whoever owns it pays for that to be there, so that's why it's never built in there. Pulled that house down. Lovely flat we had there. A big. It was a doctor's house, and we had a glass veranda. Used to have all our flowers in it in the middle flat.
Now, just looking back a bit, one more, you know, towards the First World War. When you were at the dance halls, what time would you go there? You know,
after about 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock at night.
So you'd be there for 4 hours.
Yes, I'm dancing, and
you wouldn't drink, so you'd just be dancing all that time.
Yes, well, not all dance halls. I had tea, cups of tea or coffee. Most of them then those days would be the very bigger ones of that.
It would be a live dance band, would it? A live music, you know.
Yes.
What sort of music would they play?
It wasn't the drums in those days. It'd be the saxophones mostly and the piano.
And how were the dances arranged? Did you have a card, or did the people just ask you to dance, or how was it all sorted out?
When I was 16, I used to go to town halls, the Bermondsey Town Hall and the Rotherhithe Town Hall, and I've got photographs. You'd have a little card with a pencil, and you have it on your finger like that, and they'd come up beforehand and say, "Would you have this so-and-so dance?" And you put his name down. See that happening now, can't you? And that little pink pencil on your wrist, it was. And you knew what next dance you were going to have with.
Would you dance with lots of people in a night, or would you just try and dance with your favourites, or what?
Well, the chap who'd come and ask for your dance, he'd be the favourite, probably. He'd come and say, "Well, I'll have that dance as well," and all that, and put his name down.
So he'd try and fill a few of them in.
Yes. And we'd never think, worry now. You'd come home at 12 o'clock at night on our own sometimes. You'd scared stiff now, wouldn't you? You're terrible to come home alone. But because I used to have somebody with me.
What about the pictures? Did you go to the pictures much during the First World War?
Yes, you used to be up Deptford High Street. There'd be two picture palaces, small ones, and you only go in for fourpence.
And what sort of films did you like watching then, you know, during the war?
Who was it then? What's her name? Pearl White. She was always... it would be carried on the next week. Sometimes she'd be lying across the train line and they'd say, second, continue next week. I think it was Pearl White who used to do all those. And
they'd be Chris, silent
no,
then.
Chrissy White was another one.
Did you see the Charlie Chaplin films?
Oh,
the
yes. See all them.
Were they popular?
Yes, it was Charlie Chaplin. My mother used to go nearly every night to the pictures for fourpence. She used to love the films. Sit in the front row. And I thought to myself, you used to sit like that in the front row. She'd like for fourpence.
Did you ever... You didn't drink, so you wouldn't... Would you go to pubs at all?
That's the trouble. They couldn't understand me at the Windsor. Although when I was up there, it wasn't fully licensed. It was beer and probably port wine, that's all they had. All sorts of beer.
But what about in the war, during the 1418 war? Had you gone to pubs then, or you'd be too young, would you?
Never went to the pubs, no, not then.
Did you notice any shortages during the First World War, you know, of food or anything?
Yes, margarine. You wouldn't... queue up ages for half a pound of margarine. Didn't get anything but then.
Was that the
butter.
Worst thing, margarine?
Or yes.
Was there anything
butter.
Else?
Nothing butter, wasn't there? Nothing about. It was margarine, maple margarine. And Deptford High Street had maple, and that's where they queued up a long time. I know I did once for some margarine too. Yes.
And any other, were there any, did you get, I mean, was meat and vegetables, were you able to get them in the First World War?
You used to get the meat all right.
No problem.
Uh-huh.
No, there was no rationing then, was there?
No.
No.
It was margarine I remembered more, to queue up for margarine, maple margarine. I don't remember butter. I don't suppose we had butter those days, not...
Did you know what it was like for the men fighting on the Western Front? I mean, did you understand what the war was like? I mean, you're only a young girl, but did you know what it was like on the Somme and the Ypres and things
like
that?
Well, they told me all about it.
But during the war, did you know, before you met your husband, did you know then? Did you understand how bad it was?
Yes, with some of them. I know that chap that I went with, he was in the... made prisoner, he was put in the salt mines. So it was terrible. Why he was so ill when he came
back. So you found most of what you know about it after the war. You didn't really know much about the Western Front and things during the war. Is that right?
Yes, not what they went. Well, I knew what they were going through, the trenches, because you used to see pictures in the paper. Because Mum had one on the wall that used to make you cry, and it was a horse laying down, and dying, and the soldier was leaning over it, said, "Goodbye, my old pal." So it was dying. Mum had that, she made us cry on the wall. So I knew that poor horses were going through it. Because he was on horseback, my husband, and I've got a photograph of him on horseback. And he was in the Royal Engineers. So it said it was what he went through. And when it came through to 1940 war, he said he wasn't a bit afraid. He said it's nothing to what we went through down, what the soldiers are going through now, down in the trenches, what we went through.
What about, were many people in your area killed? I mean, did you know of families that had theirs?
Oh, nearly every other house.
But not yours?
My son, my brother... didn't go to the war.
How did the neighbours try and help the people who had their sons?
Oh, they helped you a lot. Neighbours those days were really good.
So how would they try and help a widow or someone who'd lost their son?
They'd give them the food and give you, so if you've got enough food, and they give you things, go into their houses and things. My dad used to play a concertina, and when the war finished, it was all out in the streets we were, and he was playing his concertina and all singing. Yes, that was, didn't see anything now. And old Jersey Night used to be out there in the street.
What about, so there was a big party in the area, was there, or street party? Was there an actual party, or was it just people going into the streets on Victory Day in the First World War, you know, on November the 11th, not Victory Day, Armistice Day?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was all run in the streets at parties, and then they'd have the children's parties.